Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in with us today. Today, we're going to start a brand new preaching series as we look to grow strong and journey through the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is an amazing letter from the Apostle Paul and his companions to the church at Thessalonica. And we'll get into some of the historical stuff in another preach. That's not for today. But I just want to encourage you guys at the start of this journey. Pick up your Bibles, read through 1 Thessalonians with us. It's a fantastic, fantastic bit of encouragement and challenge, and we're going to journey through this together. And as we go through this together, some of the themes that you will expect us to hit on this journey through 1 Thessalonians will include the whole thing. It's going to be very deeply relational. We can expect it to be deeply relational. We can expect that there is going to be lots of helpful insight on discipleship. We are going to be looking at sanctification, being more like Jesus. We're going to look at the difference between love and lust. We're going to look at sexual purity. We're going to take time to look at grief, which is such an important subject for us to look at. It's something that every single person will experience through their life at some point or another, but we will all experience it in different ways. We're going to look at the subject of separation, how relevant for us to look at that, and the context of Paul and his companions not being able to get to the church at Thessalonica and wanting to be there with them, but them experiencing separation, something that we can really relate to in this time. We're going to be looking at prayer and the prophetic. We're going to be looking at the second coming of Jesus. So guys, we've got a lot to get through. It's going to be meaty. I think it's going to be really helpful for us as a church, really applicable. So with all that said, why don't we just pray? Thank you, Father God, for your love for us. Thank you that we can be your disciples, that we can have relationship with you and with one another. Thank you, Jesus, for this great treasure chest that is 1 Thessalonians. Oh Lord, would you lead us through this? Jesus, would you lead us through this series, Lord God? Would you draw our attention, Holy Spirit, to the areas that you want us to dwell on? Oh Lord, I pray for each and every one of us as we go on this journey that you'll speak to us. Lord, we want to look more like you, Jesus. We desire to be more like you, Jesus. Help us, Lord, on this journey, Lord, to look more like you. Praise you, Jesus. Be glorified in everything we do. Amen. Amen. So we're going to dive right in. We've got lots to crack through today. We're going to go straight to the end of the book, 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're just going to look at one verse, verse 23. And I'm going to read this out for us now. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, may the God of peace sanctify you. Sanctify. To that just means to be made more like Jesus. So Paul's prayer for us is that we will be made to look more like Jesus through and through in three areas: our body, soul, and spirit. And that's the focus for us today as we get into this, that every part of us would look more like Jesus. Paul breaks down the makeup of who we are into three areas. We are body, soul, and spirit. And each one of those areas that makes us up is important, and it interconnects and it impacts the other parts of it. Now we're going to start with the most obvious bit of kit we have, the body. And what a great bit of kit our body is. Just if you're sitting with someone, just touch them on the, make sure that they're there, they've got a body. If you're by yourself, just make sure you're there, you've got a physical body. We are physical beings with amazing senses that we can grab stuff, we can touch things, we can smell them, we can taste things. What a blessing that is. We can hear things, we can see things. This is the bit of kit that God has given us to interact with the physical world around us. And what a great bit of kit it is. And my question for us on the subject of our bodies is, how are you looking after yours? What are you doing to take care of this amazing bit of kit that God has given you? Are you eating properly? What are you putting in? Are you sleeping properly? Are you good at putting disciplined areas? Are you good with that area? Are you getting to bed at a decent time? Are you exercising enough? I know for me, if I make the effort to go for a run, I feel better for it. If I make the effort to eat well and get enough sleep, I feel better for it. How are we doing it, looking after this bit of kit that God has given us? Now, that's going to be different for all of us. And I fully accept, particularly if you are dealing with long-term illness, this is an area of challenge for you. And I think that particular area of long-term illness and dealing with that is something we'll come back to later in the series. But the question for each of us, whether we are experiencing long-term illness or that we're feeling fairly healthy, the question is the same. How are we dealing with the body God has given us? Not what's Chris doing with his, not what's Ian doing with his. What are you doing to look after your body in wherever you are at the moment? What are you doing about what you put in it? What are you doing about the amount of exercise you can manage? What are you doing with your sleep patterns that's in your control? As much as it's in our control, what are we doing? How are we looking after the bit of kit that God has given us? Now we're going to move on. So the next thing I want to look at is that, of course, we're not just a physical body. What about our souls and our spirits? Because there's these three elements that Paul has spoken about: body, soul, and spirit. So soul and spirit, what are they? Are they different things? Are they the same things? Well, Paul in this scripture has identified them as separate things. So that's going to be my starting point. I look at again, and then in Hebrews 4:12 says this: For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit. They're two separate things there again, of joint and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I think that's such a helpful illustration for us, the marrow and the joints, that they are distinctly separate things, although they are interconnected, and you want both of them to be healthy, but they are separate things. I think that's such a helpful illustration for us to help us get our mind around this whole thing of our spirit and our souls. So what are they made up of? What do they do? What is our soul? It seems quite a, you know, is that a bit of an abstract thing? What is our soul? Our soul, though unseen, is as important as our body. Now, the Greek word used in the original Greek for when the New Testament was written in the original language, the Greek word for soul in the Bible is psuche. Now, I've probably pronounced that wrong. I'm sorry about that, but let's go with it. It's sushi, which is the root word for where we in English get the word psychology. So that's all tied up and to do with the mind, the thought processes, the decision, our free will, matters of the heart, our emotions, the ability to have feelings, to have sorrow, to have anger, to have joy, to have compassion, to have love. All of those things make up our soul, our free will, our emotion. It's our personalities. It's kind of the inner bit of who we are. Now, if you were wowed by my Greek pronunciation, sushi, you're going to love the Hebrew pronunciation as well. The Hebrew word in the Old Testament that is soul is nephesh. I probably got that wrong as well. That's how I'm reading it. Nephesh and sushi, kind of a fishy theme there, isn't there? Anyway, nephesh and sushi says the Hebrew word and the Greek word in the original text for soul. Now, the English translators have, depending on the context and the sentences they're using it in, have used the following words that they have taken from these original words. The words that the English translators have used: soul, life, person, spirit, mind, heart, yourselves, himself, creature. So the word soul in the Bible covers a lot. It covers a lot. It's our souls, it's our inner parts, it's who we are, our minds, our thinking, our choices, our emotions, the inner workings that make us unique. It's a very real and important part of us. And so when we read scripture, like in Romans 12:2 says this: And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's a soul thing to do with your mind. When we read in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's a soul thing to do with your heart. And when we read in 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive. Again, that's the sole thing to do with our mind, our choices, our free will. That's all connected up with our soul. Our souls are our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, our emotions, our choices, our free will. That's our soul. So we have our body. We're more than just a body. We also have a soul that comes into the body, but we're more than that. We're also spirit as well. So what is our spirit then, and how is it different from our soul? Well, our spirit is that part of us that connects with God. Our spirit is that part of us that connects with God. So we're three parts. We're our physical body. We're our soul, our thoughts, our emotions, our free will, our choices. And then we've got this area of us that's a spirit that connects with God. Three different parts, but all come together and all important and all interlock and all impact the other parts of ourselves. Romans 8:11 says this: if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This connection with the spirit, our spirit with God's spirit, this is what brings us eternal life. Life is found in our connection in this, our spirit connecting with God's spirit. That's where we get life from. And in Romans, it doesn't just stop there. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says this: for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we also may be glorified with him. Our connection with God in our spirit means life. This connection, spirit to spirit, means that through the Spirit of God, our spirits cry, Abba, Father. That's where we get this connection with God, this sense of acceptance and identity of who we are as sons. Now, I've mentioned sons, and I've said this many times before. It's sons is in that context, in the history of that context, sons inherited everything. So this is not leaving ladies out in the same way, guys. We have to put up with being called the bride of Christ. It's a great illustration. It's more powerful to understand the illustration than try and say, no, it's sons and daughters. It's sons. It's sons in that context that inherits. It's saying everybody gets to inherit, like a son did in that context. Little history lesson over. Anyway, it's sons. We inherit as sons. But it's that connection in our spirit that goes, Abba, Father. We get to inherit. And that connection is so important. That then flows from our spirit into other parts of our body. Check this out. When our spirit connects with God's spirit, it impacts and flows into our soul. And we get things like this, Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Now that starts at a spirit level. It's our connection with God. That's where it starts. But it flows into our soul. That as we connect spirit to spirit with God, our soul then gets the benefit for that. And we receive in our mind and in our heart, in our soul, we get the peace of God. And if we're experiencing the peace of God, spirit and soul, that's going to impact on our bodies in terms of feeling physically good and relaxed. We are complete people made up of three distinct areas that are all important and overlap and interact with each other. And if you have a problem in one area of yourself, the chances are that is going to overflow into the other areas of yourself and impact the other areas of yourself. Let me use the example of stress. Now, all of us will experience stress from time to time. Particularly at the moment, a lot of us would have had a lot of stress. Now, what happens, it's very common to understand that if we go through prolonged periods of stress, what happens is we see physical manifestations in our body, physical things happen in our body if we have periods of prolonged stress. We all would know that if we have prolonged stress, our bodies don't handle that well. You will have things like headaches. You maybe be sweat more. You might have stomach problems. Digestion problems are incredibly common for people who have ongoing stress. Muscular tension or pain, neck ache is very common when you have lots of stress, feeling tired or dizzy, sexual problems, crying, eating more or less, a dry mouth, fast heartbeat, sleep problems, drinking or smoking more. When our soul is not right, when something is not right within us, it has a knock-on effect to other areas of ourselves. And so in the example of stress, ongoing stress, stress being a soul issue, a mind and an emotional and a choices issue, that then has a knock-on effect on our body, and our body reacts in those physical ways I've just described. And not only will it have a knock-on effect on our body, it will also have a knock-on effect on our spirit. Because we could become physically ill and we can become emotionally broken, but we can also become spiritually detached. We can lack the desire and motivation to connect with the Spirit of God. We can almost, if we're stressed, overstressed, it can be like we're a bit panicky, we're not making good choices, and so we're not making that time to rest in the presence of God. Maybe you don't even have time to do that. I've got so much on, so many things to deal with, I don't have time to rest and connect with the Spirit of God. My spirit, I don't have time to make for my spirit to connect with God's Spirit. And I want to encourage you today that if you're in that place and you know that you are stretched and stressed to the point of maybe breaking, I would encourage you, you've got to make time. You have got to make time for your spirit to connect with the Spirit of God and for your soul to find rest and to look at how you can help those physical manifestations in your body. Let me just encourage you to listen to some scripture I want to read to you, or maybe even just close your eyes as I read this. Maybe even just take some deep breaths, and I want to read some scripture that I trust will bring refreshment to you and encourage you to connect your spirit with God's Spirit once again, to let that overflow into your soul and to your body. Close your eyes. Breathe deep. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful description of the impact on body, soul, and spirit when we walk with the Lord, when our spirit is connected with his spirit, when we make time to rest in his presence. I want to encourage you this week, if you know you are overstressed and you can relate to some of the things I was saying a few moments ago, take some time, slowly read through this psalm. Connect all the things that I've been saying about soul and body and spirit with this psalm. There is life in there for you. I'm going to read some more scripture for you now. Go ahead, close your eyes again. This is going to be good. You're going to like this. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall feel exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Those who wait for the Lord, those of us when we wait to connect our spirit, connecting with the Spirit of God, that's where refreshment will come. Our spirit will be refreshed. That will impact our soul, and that will have impact on our physical bodies. When we wait on the Lord, our spirit cries out, Abba Father. We have that connection as sons and daughters. We get to inherit as sons in that culture inherited. As we wait on the Lord, we cry, Abba Father. Our souls are refreshed and our bodies are energized. If you are living with ongoing stress and not making time to connect your spirit with God's spirit, you run the risk of being broken on every level of yourself, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And as your pastor, I want to encourage you. You don't have to keep going down that road. I care about you. I love you. I don't want you to go down that road. And for as much as I can tell you I care about you and love you, God loves you. And that's not what he wants for you. I want to encourage people today. Some of us listening to this need to just stop and take stock and see where we're at. But you might be asking the question, okay, Chris, that's all very well, but where do I even start? It's just so overwhelming. There's just all the stuff going on at work, the stuff with the homeschooling, the stuff with the whole corona, just everything. And where do I even start? How do I even begin to unpick this level of stress that I'm going through? I want to encourage you to start simply by asking the question, how am I doing? Body, soul, and spirit. How am I doing in those three areas? Having an awareness. Maybe it just starts with having an awareness of the fact that you are made up of those three areas and helping you to break down your life into those three areas. How am I doing in those areas? How am I looking more like Jesus? How am I going to be more healthy in those three areas? That can just help you to start unpicking things a little bit. What are the things I need to do to look more like Jesus in those areas? How is my body going? How is this bit of kit doing that the Lord has given me? How am I looking after it? Am I really treating it well? Am I putting good stuff in it? Am I exercising it properly? You know, am I sleeping well? Am I really taking care of my body? Is my body trying to tell me stuff? Are there signs of stress? I've got these headaches. You know, why have I got these headaches all the time? What's your body trying to tell you? Are you doing too much? What's your body telling you? How's your soul? Are you being transformed by the renewing of your mind? Are you taking every thought captive? Are you guarding your heart? Are you making good choices to take care of yourself? It's good to ask ourselves these questions. How's your spirit? Are you resting in the Lord? Are you connecting with him and saying, oh, Abba Father? Are you delighting in your sonship? How are you doing with your spirit? Are you connecting with God? You know, in the same way that you wouldn't get by on one meal a week for your physical body, you know, you wouldn't get by on one prayer a week. You know, how's your prayer life doing? It matters. If you want to be more like Jesus, well, Jesus prayed more than once a week, I'm sure. If we want to be more like Jesus, we need to be praying every day. Does us good? Does our spirits good when we do that sort of stuff? So the first thing I want to encourage you is on the whole area of awareness, just self-awareness. How are you doing? How are you actually doing in those three areas of your life? And the second thing I'd encourage you to do is I encourage you to talk to people about those things. Talk to people about those three areas of your life. These are not just great questions for us to ask ourselves. They're great questions for us to get others to ask us as well and to talk those things through with other people. For me, I know well over this last year or so, there's particular people that I've been asking them to ask me that stuff. There's been stuff I've been trying to work through, and I want to know how I'm doing in those three areas of life. And it helps me to talk it through. So there's been people I say, you know, ask me this stuff. I want you to ask me how I'm doing on these things. It matters. It helps. And big areas of growth for me has been working through this with other people. Discipleship group over this last year has been so valuable for me. I want to encourage you. Who are you getting to ask these questions? and to really help you unpick how you're doing. Are you connecting with people and welcoming those questions, inviting them, ask me these questions. Ask me how am I doing in these areas? And are you asking those questions of others? When you say, hey, how you doing? Is that it? Is it a surface level thing? You know, if you really want to connect with people discipleship wise, there's great questions to ask. How are you doing physically? How are you doing, you know, in your soul, emotionally, in your thinking? How are you doing spiritually? Great questions to ask each other. Really great questions to ask each other. And also, are there any areas in those three areas where you need to make changes? Where do I need to make changes in those areas? You know, we all have choices. That's the soul thing. We learned that today, didn't we? To do with our thinking. We all have choices. We can choose to say to someone today, will you ask me how I'm doing in these three areas? I need to talk to someone. Will you ask me how I'm doing? And I want to say to you, if you want to chat with someone right now, explore that more, go ahead, hit the prayer button, the live prayer. You want some prayer for this stuff, or you just want to talk to someone or go, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know where to start. Hit the prayer button. We'd love to chat to you right now. And maybe the conversation can go beyond today. You know, we, as a church, we really care. We don't want people to get broken. And I just really feel that this is an important message for us to really have that awareness that we're made up of three areas, that we are body and we need to look after our bodies. We are soul. It's good for us to understand what our soul encompasses and how we take care of our souls. And we are spirit. And all three of those things overlap and interlinked, and they're important. And Paul's prayer for us is that we will be more like Jesus in each of those areas of our lives. So how are you doing, body, soul, and spirit? And is there anything that you need to do, any changes you need to make in those three areas of your life to be more like Jesus or to be more healthy? We're going to come back over this preaching series and look at things like grief and sexual purity and separation and a lot of stuff that is going to encompass our whole being. You know, when we grieve, it affects our body, soul, and spirit. When we looking at the area of sexual purity, it's going to impact us body, soul, and spirit. This is an important bit of teaching, I think, for us to grasp before we launch into this amazing book of 1 Thessalonians. I nearly said 1 Corinthians then. We're not doing that. Let's just be really proactive in looking after ourselves in all those three areas. Just check up on each other. You know, when you sign up for a small group, that we're going to invite you to do next week, sign up for a small group and ask the people in that small group, how are you doing in these areas of your life? And be aware for yourself, how am I doing? Are there any changes I need to make? I'm going to pray for us now before I hand back to Steve. Thank you so much for listening in. I hope this has been an encouragement for you. And I hope that this series will be an encouragement as we look to grow strong as we go through this book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, I just thank you so much that you have made us complete people. God, that you've given us a body, you've given us a soul, and you've given us a spirit. God, we thank you for that, Lord. And I just really ask for us all now that you will increase our awareness of all those areas for ourselves, for our own discipleship, for our connection with you, to live healthy and complete lives, Lord God, but above all, lives that in which we are looking more and more like you, King Jesus. We want to look like you, Jesus, in every area of our life. Body, soul, and spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you just fill us afresh again, Lord God, as we look at these areas of our lives and go, how am I doing? Spirit of God, will you draw to mind areas where we need to make changes to look more like you, Jesus, to show your goodness and your glory, your light and your hope and your life to the world around us. Praise you, Jesus. Be glorified. Amen. Amen. Have a great week. Look after yourself, body, soul, and spirit. And we look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye. God bless.